Boom. And like that, he was live. Good evening, everybody. Hope you can hear me okay. It's a lovely Monday evening. So what better could you do than spend it with myself and my producer, Jed, in the next 60 minutes as we put the world to right. And I try to make my way through this without making too many technological mess ups. So before we just a couple of hellos, actually. I see Ozzy, Chris, Miss L. Hi, Miss L. I promised you I would say hello tonight. Loudmouth, all you guys, thanks for being and for joining the stream as we Billy Piper is joining us from a Spoons in the home county. Such an exotic lot, aren't you? You guys are the real high flyers. Spoons, Witherspoons in the home counties. So right, folks, as we get this underway. So as Chris Davis says, whatever happened to Rebecca? Rebecca is currently out of the country, shall we say, and so you just got to put up with me tonight, Chris, just myself and Jed tonight. So I hope that will be okay for you. Thank you for being here. Just a couple of things. I see today, June 21st, it's the longest day, the summer solstice. How many of you folks out there were you out this morning watching the sun come up? Any druids amongst the constellation of folks who watch this? Anyway, the longest day might be the shortest podcast. Loudmouth says hi from brand new tube. Hi to all those, our growing audience over on brand YouTube. Thank you for the guys over there. We just hit, believe it or not, folks, we just hit, 275,000 views on brand YouTube. We only came on it in early April. So a couple of months, not bad for us, I guess. So thank you for watching us over there. Thank you for watching us on YouTube though as well. I see Billy comments, one of his more sensible comments, says it's time to ditch YouTube. Well, we've just hit Billy 7,000 followers over on the YouTube channel. So I'm happy enough, you know, to be there. However, yes, Billy, you're right. I mean, of course, I know I'm being suppressed over there. I get that. However, a lot of people are they like YouTube. They like the platform. It is technically a nice platform. It allows for lots of good interaction. It's just that they are censorious of opinions like mine. And that is, of course, the fundamental problem we have. And opinions like yours as well. So, hey, Billy Piper, I seen that comment. You're banned for life, pal. We have this constant battle, and what we're really trying to do, folks, to be on a level with you, we are very much trying to diversify. I'm all for diversity, and that's why I do hope everybody who's watching this has subscribed to my podcast channel. At this point, if you go to the podcast link, you will get around 3 exclusive podcasts a day. They're only short podcasts, so you don't have to worry about it. You're not going to be bored senseless, but roughly 5-minute exclusive commentary, and you get it exclusively wherever you find decent podcasts. So it could be on Apple, could be in Google, could be on Pod Addict, could be on, oh gosh, there's so many of these different podcast platforms. But Billy Piper's amusing me tonight. I do want you to do that. So make sure you do that. So if you do nothing else, go and subscribe to the podcast channel. That also supports me. So I hope you'll do that. Yes, Monkey, thanks. I appreciate you giving me a sub on the podcast. We're trying to get the numbers up. They are growing very fast. Shortly, I will be launching, as well as my own primary podcast channel, I'm going to be launching a podcast with Alana Mercer. Those of you who like Alana, Alana and I will be, you'll be able to listen to Alana and I, as well as watch us. So that's coming along very, very shortly. So That's I think that's all the stuff. That's all the catch-up stuff, isn't it? So, right. Without further ado, then. Without further ado, today, June 21st. It's two things, isn't it? It's not just Billy Piper. Zip the comments, Billy Piper. I'll tell Alana what you said. Well, of course, mind you, you said when she's on the stream, so I can't really stop you. It's June 21st. It is the summer solstice, isn't it? The longest day. And it's Freedom Day. Back in February, do you remember Boris Johnson told us, listen, folks, you've got to go through this for another 3 months, whatever. But at the end of that, we're going to get to Freedom Day, an irreversible thrust to freedom when all the COVID regulations will fall away, just like a caterpillar sheds its skin and becomes a butterfly. Well, that's what today was going to be. But, of course, it wasn't, was it? And we told you so. We told you that there was no way that they were giving you your freedom back. And they managed to contrive a really, really good narrative. Hi, Tony, by the way. Good to see you. You're always welcome on the stream. They had no intention of giving you your freedom back. Boris said that to lure people into a sense of, well, only three more months to go. And so here we are on June 21st. And there's a few things I wanted to say about this, actually. Not least, I mean, I listen to people like Julia Hartley Brewer over on Talk Radio. Vaccine Radio. And she is continually hammering the government for, oh, government, you've got to get us out of these restrictions. We've all had our vaccines. You need to get us out of these restrictions. She misses the fundamental point. The fundamental point is the restrictions aren't there on the basis of, if you like, sound scientific fact. Billy Piper says, okay, Billy Piper, let's take you on. Hang on. Talk Radio turned off their comments. hello, Elizabeth. Good to see you on the stream. I diss Julia Hartley Brewer. I like Julia Hartley Brewer in many regards. She's got lots of good qualities, but she, I'm afraid, has got it consistently wrong regarding the jabs. And that's all I can say when I'm on some of these channels. But we can go into more detail in other spaces. But anyway, here we are, June 21st. And I see some of the real radicals out there are saying, that's it. We're done. Hashtag I'm done. Hashtag I'm taking my mask off. I'm going to post it to Boris Johnson. Actually, that's not a bad idea if you wanted to do that, I suppose. But I've got a more fundamental point. You shouldn't have been wearing it in the first place, because according to government regulations, there are exemptions. And if you exercise your right to those exemptions, then you should never have worn it. So hashtag I'm done. It's fair enough. But frankly, I was done round about the end of April 2020. And even then, it was late in the day, actually. Monkey says you should call them. Actually, Monkey, someone said to me today, David, why don't you go on GB News? I'll tell you why, because there's no chance. Heretics like me do not go on channels or are not invited to go on channels, should I say, like GB News. That's why I won't ever be on GB News. And I can live without that, by the way. Ricky Rick says he's never worn them. Last but one says, I've worn them for a few minutes this time last year. I feel I am exempt. Oban One. Hi, Oban One, by the way. Good to see you. Talk Radio is okay most of the time, but defo pro-vaccine. Although it's not as pro-vaccine as GB News, but this is all understandable. These people are all regulated by Ofcom. Ofcom is the government. So if you want to be able to broadcast, you have to knee and give supplication to Ofcom, which is the government. And that's how it rolls. It's as simple as that there. So therefore, I'm not in the least surprised by the attitudes of Julia Hartley Brewer. If you follow her Twitter feed, if you follow that, she comes across as pretty robust, and some of her comments are excellent. She's very good. There is an inherent contradiction. She thinks that by taking the vaccines, you're getting out of this. You're going to get your freedom back. And you're not. But let me ask you all a question. Does anybody watching this actually believe that come July 19th, it's Freedom Day again? Does anyone believe that? Is there anybody who's prepared to say, yeah, I believe Boris, we're getting out of this completely, irreversibly, no more going back to social distancing, wearing masks, all the rest of that charade, the ritual hand washing. Does anyone believe that? Can I ask? Well, Charles says no. Actually, Elizabeth Barber, you're quite right. Some of these, I'm sure we've all seen this. I see people wearing masks. Hi, David, Frank, good to see you. I see people wearing masks, religiously. And then once they take the masks off, what they do is they put them in their, if it's a lady, in their handbag, or if it's a guy, in his pocket. Well, think about, I know there's no critical thinking involved in this, but if you actually thought about it, if you were exhaling the deadly virus into your mask, why the hell would you put your mask in your handbag or your pocket? It's insanity. But critical thinking is all gone. No, I'm just reading your comments here, folks. Let me know. Remember, do you think you're getting your freedom back? Okay. So I'm just checking to make sure you can all see me. I think I'm just doing a little check here. Have to do a few technical things here, folks. So again, just bear with me. Okay, this is on the hoof. More chance of, all right, I'm just gonna read all the comments out. I think we're okay. I think my signal was a wee bit dodgy there. So if I appear like into a pixelated blob, don't blame me. Blame rural broadband, folks. I'm glad it's good again. Well, you probably didn't miss anything, loudmouth, if it went a little bit blurry. But yeah, so pretty much from what I can see. Hi, Sonia, by the way. Good to see you on the stream as well. Chaz, most of you guys, I think everyone believes that we are not getting our freedom back on July 21st either. And of course we're not. And yet, there's such a narrative in play. You've seen the narrative, the media, it could be July the 5th. Do you see that one being played by the media? It could be July the 5th that we get our freedom back. That's being speculated on by the media as if there's any chance of that happening. There's no chance of that happening, none at all. And in fact, Jamie Robb, hi, Jamie, thanks for being on the stream. Jamie adds, I don't believe a word Boris the Clown says. So that's a big no for me. I think we will still be muzzled. So they have a form of control, even though masks, as you know, are scientifically empty. Well, yeah, it's July 19th. Sorry, July 19th is Freedom Day. To be honest, I think it's possible they will give us some concessions to run from probably the end of July to the beginning of late end of August, about 4 weeks, something. And then at that point, boom, because they're coming back. Elizabeth Barber's right. Another variant of concern will come. It's just that they have to give you the impression that, oh, just one more carrot. Come on, donkey. One more carrot, just eat the next carrot. And we all know what the donkeys are after. The donkey, this is all about getting jabbing. This is what it's all about. Charles Brown is exactly right when he says, in my view anyway, they may lift restrictions temporarily, then swiftly back as they aim to jab 12 to 18-year-olds. Absolutely. What did you folks think? Can I ask, what did you think of the sight of all the young people outside the West Ham football stadium? Did you see that? All queuing up in their, thousands, tens of thousands to get the jab to keep them safe from a virus which, largely speaking, does not affect that age demographic. And that's an undeniable fact. That's not me just speculating. The 12 to 18, the 12 to 20 age group is fundamentally unaffected by any serious consequences of this pandemic. But yet, there they all were. They were queuing up. I mean, couldn't couldn't wait to get in. I mean, you, obviously the legacy media plays this off. So they're sort of saying, oh, well, naturally, the media will only show those who are saying, yeah, I've got my job. I've got it. Oh, yeah. I saw actually some footage of, again, just like we've seen in the States, young people celebrating taking getting the job. It really is something else. Anton Wilson, hi Anton, by the way, good to see you on the stream, says the Guardian are saying that the flu will be a bigger threat than COVID this winter due to immunity, due to no immunity due to lockdowns. Anton, one of the great mysteries of the past year and a half is, globally speaking, what happened to the flu? And the truth is, it's very hard to be sure what did happen to the flu. But the flu has vanished. And one of the concerns that many of us have, and is for those of our fellow citizens who have chosen to take the vaccine, and we worry about what will happen to them when they encounter what will be a returning flu virus of some degree, or indeed any other wild virus, I suppose, that comes back in autumn. Because you see, here's the other thing. We are in, I keep saying this, but it needs to be repeated. We are in the summer, the Northern Hemisphere summer season. Even as I speak to you outside, it's summery, it's a lovely day. Respiratory illnesses vanish pretty much overwhelmingly during the summer months. They did last year, they have again this year. But the media and the government have conjured up the Delta variant scare to such a degree that the government is using that to keep you subjugated. And here's the thing about, there's a really excellent video which I saw from Ivor Cummings. You may know Ivor Cummings. He's put together a lovely, go to his YouTube channel, a little three minute video on the difference, the impact of the Delta variant using government figures. So again, this is not contestable. This is not a debate. And when you look at it, what you will discover is when it comes to the Delta variant, the dreaded Delta variant, that as it has emerged, and it is pretty much prevalent across the UK now, it's in, you know, 90% of the communities around the UK, regardless of the transmissibility of it, hospitalizations, as it spread, hospitalizations have dropped. Mortality has dropped. So guess what? Turns out that the Delta variant, the WHO may say it's a variant of concern, but when we use the key metrics of the government to lock us down, namely, is it overwhelming hospitals? No, assuredly not. The data is not there. Is it causing excess deaths? No, it's not. Then there's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to worry about when we're getting some good comments over in Brand New Tube. Sorry, we can't put them up on the screen over here. But one of these days, what we're going to do, folks, I'm going to do a brand new stream, exclusive live stream, just for all my friends over in Brand New Tube. And everyone, obviously, from YouTube here, you're all welcome to come over there. But, you know, we can speak freely. We can speak freely over there. And I'm just reading some more comments. Hi, Real Surreal. He says, hello, John Gleason, by the way. Good to see you guys on the stream. Better late than never, John Gleason. Set your stopwatch for 8 o'clock because we've got lots of stream. There's lots of stuff, lots of things coming up this week, by the way. We do have, just as a little heads up, we have Anne-Marie Waters coming on Thursday night. So look out for Anne-Marie. Got Alana Mercer going out on Wednesday night. And I'm hoping to also do a stream with my friend, the gut guru, David McCollum, who's extraordinarily knowledgeable on all things medical. And there's going to be, I know there's going to be one of the consequences, folks, of the whole lockdown has been a really saddening and tragic increase in suicides and affecting people's mental health. There's going to be a big march in Belfast this Saturday highlighting mental illness. as a consequence of lockdown policies. And I want David to come on and talk to you a little bit about it so that the awareness is increased. We do have to look after vulnerable people. Some of those vulnerable people, folks, they don't have COVID, right? But they can be alone, they can feel lonely, they can be isolated. And there's been a terrible toll wrought amongst those people. So fundamentally, I'm a great one for trying to, if we can help these sort of people. So lots of stuff as the week goes on. But I wonder, can we at this point now to open, I'm sick of listening to myself, actually. I wonder, can we bring in our universally, he's like the Holy Ghost, Jed. He's everywhere at once. I wonder, can we bring Jed into the stream and ask, is he surprised that June 21st turns out not to be Freedom Day after all? Good evening, Jed. Ah, Jed is there, but he's using semaphore.
Sorry, David. Good evening, David. I was on mute. It's that old Teams and Skype thing. Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Good evening, David. Good evening, everybody on the stream. Thank you for coming. Did I think June the 21st was going to be Freedom Day?
Yeah.
One word, never. I never thought it would be. It was all a con. Because Easter was supposed to be Freedom Day. And then June the 21st, and then 19th of July, and I don't think that will be full freedom either, even though Quasi, whatever his name is, this morning said on Vaccine Radio, Talk Radio, he said it was a guarantee without guaranteeing it, I think is what he said. It's all a con.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, though, I can't believe people are so easily fooled, Jed, because most of us, let's bring on a counterintuitive view here, because our good friend Billy Piper says, are we not rejecting the very premise of Freedom Day exclusively? Well, can I just say, Jed, before I ask you that, you see, Billy, what I think is, if you have to ask for your freedom, you're not free. Now, this is my fundamental problem with it. A government that can give you your freedom is a government that's keeping you captive. I believe we are captive. We're not a free people. And the notion that, dangling carrots, like, well, we might be able to give you your freedom back or some of your freedom back, to hell with that. I don't want a government having, the government shouldn't have this power over us, in my opinion, Jed. Well, what do you reckon?
I agree. You see, a government is there to protect your rights, not to take your rights away. And what they have done is taken our fundamental rights away, our right to freedom, autonomy, the right to take risk, for us to judge our own risk. They've taken all that away. And what they've done is infantilized swathes of the population that they can live their life now without risk because the government will control that risk. And that's not true. You know, you see the polls. And they say, 70%, 80% are in favour of extending. No, they're not, because they are YouGov polls and they are self-selective. So people who wish to answer those polls sign up to answer them. And it's the same group of people that say, yes, keep it going because I'm on furlough. I work for the civil service. I'm working from home. I love this. It's great working from home. Those are the people that answer those polls. Why? Because the rest of us that are out grafting all day and earning a crust to keep our family don't have time to spend all day on the tippy-tappy.
I mean, there's some really interesting comments here in the stream. I see Billy, who's being very, giving us lots
He's
of
been very
comments.
Active, hasn't he?
Great, but Billy, your fingers must be red hot from all the typing you're doing. It's not about freedom. We can take that for ourselves. This is about pubs, restaurants, culture, and airports. And we have Craig Roberts saying, freedom is our birthright. It's not for the government to give or take it away. And those comments are right. I mean, I agree with, I do agree with that. Hi, Sonia, by the way. Good to see you on the stream. But, you know, the thing is that when you say it's not about freedom, but the government nonetheless has impacted and is impacting on people's ability to work, to earn a living. to look after themselves and their family, because in some sectors, those people are still being, you know, not allowed to do what they normally do. I mean, if you are in the, for example, the entertainment area, then you've got problems. Unless your name's Bruce Springsteen and you want to have a concert where everybody's vaccinated. Did you see that, Jed? The boss,
well, yes, but
Bruce
not
Springsteen.
With the AstraZeneca vaccine. He doesn't want more people.
Yeah, did you see that? That was really weird. Yeah, only apparently COVID. I'm sorry, Pfizer and Moderna get you in to see Bruce and the gang.
Oh, so, you see, we can be selective nowadays, David. Now is you know, we have positive discrimination and all the rest of it. You know, we can discriminate against who we like for whatever reason we like now. So whatever jabs you've had, I could say to people, I want to discriminate because you've had the MMR vaccine. Do you think that would wash? I don't.
I think you'd find yourself up in court, toot to sweet.
Exactly.
But in this case, yeah, I mean, Simon, hi, Simon, by the way, welcome to the stream. Simon says he will ease restrictions just enough on the 5th to let FIFA watch football, keep things as they are until the 19th, and lock us again in September. I mean, that's also possible. I think there's a universal recognition that a more severe form of restrictions will kick in late September. Late August into early September. I think there's a consensus in that for most of the people that that come on here and listen to us, Jed. I think nobody thinks that when we get into the cooler weather of early autumn, when summer's long, just a memory, so will some of the things that we are taking for granted at the moment. I think hospitality will be further impacted. What do you think about travel, Jed? The government has been selling us hard on the image on the illusion, in my view, that, if you have two jabs, you can go to an amber list country and then not have to quarantine when you come back. So amber list holidays for the good people who take the vaccinations twice. And I'm afraid if you don't take the vaccination, you're stuck. Isn't that discrimination, Jed?
Of course it is. But the thing is, I'm now hearing stories or seeing stories where they're saying, if you've had two vaccines, you're not allowed to fly because of the possibility of clots.
Well,
now,
this
VA have had four pilots die very recently, but they've kept quiet.
Well, on the BA story, we have to be careful where we go, but BA have denied that there is any connection to the death of the four pilots, which is somewhat unusual, Jed. We have to, you know, admit that, and any other medical issue. But then I'm not sure that BA themselves are medical experts. Are they epidemiological experts that they can make such a pronouncement? I mean, I'm not sure that I would want to take the corporation's word for that. No doubt there will be postmortems done. It would be interesting to know what those pilots died of. But of course it is,
yeah. But you'd expect your pilot to be fit and healthy. The fact that he's flying, you know, 500 people in a Smarties tube, you know, thousands of miles, and at 35,000 feet, you would hope that he's fit and well. But for whatever they died of, you would hope that that pilot isn't going to croak it while he's sat in the cockpit.
Well, absolutely. As someone in the old days, Jed, when I used to travel, I was never what you'd say a very comfortable flyer. I increasingly accepted my fate as I traveled or wherever it was in the world. But my presumption was that there was a greater chance the pilot would probably get to the other end. So any possibility of that not being the case doesn't...
David, sit at the back of the plane because the plane never reverses into a mountain.
No, it doesn't reverse. It doesn't, but you see when it hits it at 500 miles an hour from the front, I'm not sure that the back's... I don't want to be in the bloody aircraft. But anyway, somebody, Jed, you're being asked the question. Billy is putting you to the sword here. Jed, my boy, how many pilots die in peacetime? I don't know, Billy, but I'll tell you what I do think. I don't ever... Four seems quite a lot. But maybe that's wrong. Maybe pilots do die, and maybe this is just one of those things that happens. We don't know is the truth of the matter, I think. And I don't want to unnecessarily cause anyone alarm. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, anyway, it's wrong, Jed, to discriminate
against. I do know, Billy. I've got an answer for you. So yeah, Google is always your friend. Okay, so there are 76 fatalities over 16 years from commercial pilots workforce. Approximately 2,600 result in an annual pilot fatality rate of 183 per 100,000 pilots.
Hey, there you go, Billy. That's your answer. So
76 over 16 years and 4 in 1 year.
Yep. Well, those are the facts. It's certainly something we should definitely get more information on. But anyway, let us move on from the endless conversations on COVID and government lockdown and lying government and all the rest of it. And let's talk about Batley and Spen. Now, Jed, we've got Anne-Marie Waters, who is standing in the Batley and Spen by-election, coming on with us on Thursday night, folks. So I hope you'll tune in to that and listen to what Anne-Marie has to say, because she's obviously trying to hope to win the seat. But it looks to me that the real battle in Batley and Spen is going to be between Labour. It's obviously a Labour seat. Joe Cox being the previous MP. And now, of course, the current MP, what did happen to the current MP?
I don't know, to be honest, David. I really don't know, because it was was she not the TV star that turned politician? I think she was, wasn't she? And she stood when Cox died.
And she got a job. Unpaused. Yeah, she has bailed out of that to take up another position, I think. So that's what's caused the vacancy. But question is, I think she'd become a mayor, Billy, or something like that. So the vacancy has come about, and what we've got is a battle royal between Joe Cox's sister, on the one hand, the Conservative candidate on the other hand, and then we've got George Galloway, by the way, Jed, who's also standing there. So and then we've got Anne-Marie and others as well. So there's a lot of things happening in Batley and Spen. And just reading the ruins, it seems to me, and I put out a little thing about this earlier today, that if you if Labour lose this, if they lose this, hi, Chris, by the way, make sure you join us on Wednesday. Look forward to seeing you again then. If they lose this, isn't Keir Starmer toast? And if so, what happens?
It's difficult, because if he's toast, which I duly think he should be, who's going to replace him? They haven't got any. They've got Angela Rayner. You know, so it's from one clown to another clown. And I'm not sure which is worse. I think I'd rather have Starmer than Rayner, to be honest with you.
No,
why?
Because Angela Rayner would be brilliant, because she's absolutely useless. Or Dawn Butler, who I believe the Corbynistas have been trying to figure, is there enough support to get Dawn Butler as Labour leader? They would absolutely lead Labour to oblivion. Obviously, both of them, they're both grotesqueries. At least Sir Keir Starmer, he kind of looks okay and he talks reasonable sense of a leftist type. But I just don't see how, if they lose Batley and Spen, I don't see how he can stay. I think there will be a movement.
No, I agree. And last but one, Diane Abbott.
I see her. Yeah. It'd be great.
He's got to be toast, but he's one of those slippery eels, isn't he? I mean, he's climbed that greasy pole to be the leader. And he's one of those that's always got to where he's got on the back of other people.
Yeah.
And that's So to get rid of him, it's difficult. I think he should go. I think there will be calls for him to go, but I think he might just fend them off.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, of course, Labour could win it. It's possible. The polls are indicating, though, and this is something we have to be a bit careful about, given that we're discussing this on YouTube, but the polls are suggesting that the Muslim community within Batley and Spen are very unhappy with Sir Keir Starmer because of his lack of condemnation of Israel regarding the shenanigans with the Palestinians. And we don't want to get into that discussion here. But anyway, I'm told that that community is unhappy. And that's about 20% of the electorate, Jed. Now, given that Labour's only got a majority, quite a narrow majority of about 3,000 votes, if that community chooses not to vote for Labour, then they're toast. And then this is where George Galloway comes into it. Because George Galloway, in fact, he and I, many years ago on a Sunday morning TV program, sparred on the fact that I was pro-Israel, he was pro-Palestine. So he's been consistently pro-Palestine, just as I'm consistently pro-Israel. So I would have thought he might appeal, actually. He's claiming he's in number one. I don't know. Is it plausible that Galloway could win the seat? I don't know. What do you think?
I think if he did, I think that'd be an even bigger smash of Labour. Labour and Conservatives can box with each other at by-elections and general elections and gain and lose and gain and lose. That's the way life goes. But if Labour lose a seat that they theoretically only have because it was unopposed last time round, and then to lose it to George Galloway, who for want of a better phrase, has been out of politics for many years. He's been on the sidelines for many years. He's got a loud voice. I believe he has his own YouTube and his own podcast and stuff. And his own show somewhere. But he's been out of mainstream politics. For him to take it from Labour, that really would be a kick in the teeth for him. Even more so than losing it to a Tory or even a Lib Dem.
Well, we saw Jed, just was it last week, we saw in the Amersham by-election that a 16,000 Tory majority was overturned and the Lib Dems won it. Now, okay, that was over local issues, but all by-elections are over local issues. So I wonder, could George Galloway actually do it? As you said, Jed, it would be a sensation if George Galloway was to win it. Maybe he'd come on and talk to me if that be the case.
The thing is that if you look at what's actually happening, and it does trend, you've got Labour that's left, you've got Lib Dem that's left, you've got Greens that are left, and in fact you've got every party that's left, and then you've got the Conservatives, which are centre-left. And what they've done is form a progressive alliance. So, for example, in the one you've just been talking about, by-election,
All the
left-wing people voted for the Lib Dem. They were all told to vote for the Lib Dem to get the Lib Dem in, to get the Tories out. And they're doing this, and it goes around Twitter. It's going around about this. We've got this progressive alliance. And all they could do with that is, in by-elections, take a seat. They couldn't take an election, general election, because... Yeah. Who would they vote? What party would they vote for? If somebody in the general election said to a Lib Dem, you need to vote Labour, Greens, you need to vote Labour, they're not going to do. Why? Because it's out for themselves. Lib Dems tend to do really well at local elections anyway, because there are people of the mindset that say, well, Lib Dems are good with local issues, like you've just said, for organising the bins and getting the streets cleaned and the day-to-day stuff. But when it comes to national politics, they're appalling. And that's why they will not get close to power, like Labour won't get close to power.
Oh, no, they have no chance. Yeah, they have no chance. Yeah. But in this case here, in Batley and Spen, I think that it could be that either Galloway... I think it's more likely that Galloway will take sufficient votes from Labour that the Tories get in. I think Jane, by the way, Jane Oxley, thanks for joining the stream. I think that's the more likely scenario rather than a massive sensation by Galloway winning it. So, yeah, you know, I just think that however this one works, it doesn't look at this one. It's only, what, a couple of weeks before the vote. It doesn't look very encouraging for Labour.
I don't think anything's looking encouraging for Labour, because Labour have gone far left, extreme left, you could say.
Yeah.
And your working class Joe, you know, working class Joe and Jane, what do they want? What they actually want is the bins emptied, the streets cleaned. They want the neighbourhood safe. They want the street lights to work at night.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of thing that they want. And Labour are not offering that. What Labour are offering is division based on race and sexuality. Your average Joe, what we would call normies, your normies, well, think this is absolutely bizarre.
You're right. And this is actually, Jed, that's a really good point you made, because Batley is a kind of traditional kind of working class constituency. And yes, it does have a significant ethnic minority within it. So the things that matter should be just, you know, bread and butter issues. But Labour completely ignore them. Labour want to, you know, they want to talk about identitarian politics. They want to talk about the wokery. They want to talk about all of the metropolitan elitist crap, which does not cut through and which is destroying them. So I'm going to be really it'll be really interesting when Anne-Marie's on with us on Thursday, folks, and do make sure you join us for that, to get her analysis, because I would doubt that Anne-Marie has a realistic chance of winning it. But by the same token, she has the courage of her convictions to stand. So it'll be great to get a sense of what does she find, what's happening on the ground. Is there a chance for smaller parties? Is it Galloway's potential seat to win? All that stuff, folks, we'll have with you for you on Thursday. But I think the one thing about George Galloway I need to let you know is, by the way, folks, he's a big Elvis Costello fan. One of the things George and I have discussed this off air, and especially the first three albums. So he does have, although I disagree with him on a lot of things, he is actually quite pro the union with Scotland and England. So he's pretty good in that. And, you know, he was pro-Brexit and all of those things. None of us are, I think, you know, Jed, people are complex. We're not just simple black. Well, sometimes we're black and white, but people have different views, don't they, on different topics?
They do, but you can't see. For example, you know, you walk around your local supermarket. For me, it's Morrison's. And if I walk around there, not that I've been in there for a year now, but if I walk around there, I don't hear, you know, mums and dads and women and guys talking about, you know, trans issues or whether a job should go to a person of colour or a white person. You don't hear that. Why? Because that's not normal speak. That is hard left extremist speak. That is the voice of Labour Party now. And that is why they're not connecting with the electorate. The electorate don't care what colour people are, what sex they are. They just care whether they are nice people. That is it.
I know. I mean, it's the same metropolitan mindset that we saw, Jed. I covered it, I think, in one of the podcasts I did today. The BBC, for example, insisting that they could only accept people from a BAME background for a new trainee job. White people are not wanted. Well,
yeah, that's the one called BBC discriminates against white people. Official.
Yeah.
On the podcast, guys, go and listen.
Yeah, go on. I mean, but see, I think that's completely wrong. I think, obviously, you should never judge anyone on their skin color. You should judge them on their individual merits, and jobs should always go to the best candidate. But Labour, just like the BBC, as you've just pointed out, Jed, they go one step, two steps beyond that. And that annoys and repels loads of ordinary people.
No, it does, David. But the point is, here we have the Equality Act, which for the past 10 years we've had a Conservative government. But in that Equality Act, that says everyone must be treated equally, there is a clause to say you can treat people of colour more equally than white people. You can physically and legally discriminate based on colour. Now, if you have an Equality Act that discriminates based on colour, it's not an Equality Act. It's a Race Discrimination Act.
Mm.
Now, we've had Tories in for 10 years that could have wiped that off the books in what with a swift thingy of the pen. But they didn't. Why? Because they're not actually Tories. They are centre-left. I would. What colour would you get if you went from blue to red? Well, you get a colour in the middle. They're not white blue, they're not white red.
Yeah.
So they've had the power to get rid of that, just like the speech laws, the Communication Act 128, I think it is. I might be wrong, but somebody will correct me. They could have got rid of that with the hate speech thing. But they
didn't want to.
Why? Because they have control over you with that. They have control over you with the Equality Act. That is why they're keeping them.
And that's one of the things that Alana Mercer and I like to talk about, that she believes in the States, if you go down the rabbit hole of Republicans versus Democrats, you're really not paying attention, because ultimately it's the Uni Party, you know, and they're quite happy if you say, oh, I'm in this silo, the Republican silo, or I'm in the Democrat silo, but actually you're in the one silo, you just don't know it. Same here in the UK, if you're a Tory, if you're Labour, if you're Lib Dem, it's the same. They're all the Uni Party. They're all the same.
That's right. But again, what does your average Joe on the street do when it comes to putting the cross in the box? They have to pay.
That's the problem.
The point is, I think over the past 10 years, maybe 15 years, I don't think I've ever met anybody that said, I'm voting for this party because of X, Y, and Z. Is brilliant. What they actually say is, I'm voting for the least worst.
To keep the other ones out,
To keep the real bad the ones out. I don't want the blue one, but I definitely don't want the red one, or vice versa, if you see what I'm getting. So you're never voting for a candidate, really, that you want. You're voting for a candidate to keep the awful one away, the real awful one.
But I don't you think that that's a false choice, Jeb? I mean, I've
got
to be honest.
It's not a choice, though, David, is it? To vote for the least worst candidate is not a choice.
Well, then you shouldn't vote.
But then you've wasted your vote. At least you have some power. You see, I'm a great believer. I think we should do what the Australians do and make it compulsory to vote.
But then that would mean it would be compulsory to vote for, let's say, Labour or Tories.
Because you could also, because they have compulsory voting, but you can go into that booth and spoil your paper.
Yeah, okay. Can I just say, by the way, Monkey, thank you very much for watching on brand new YouTube. Appreciate you being over there and one of our growing number of supporters in brand new YouTube. Just wanted to say that, Jed, because we do appreciate all the support we're getting from some brilliant people over there as well. So I just wanted to thank you all for on brand new YouTube for all the support to the channel. But it's a tough one, Jed. It's a real tough one.
It is. And I hate it when I have to pick a candidate because they are the least worst. That bugs me. I want to pick a candidate I want, not the least worst.
Yeah, but if your only choice is between two forms of poison, which form of poison should you take?
Hello, David.
Yeah, sorry, Jen. Sorry, I've got a bit of background noise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was, to be honest, I was doing something technical in the background. Sorry to spoil your flow.
Okay.
But I was actually trying to bring up brand new YouTube and just try to see if I could show some comments that might be there on the screen, just like I do with the slide as you speak, just so you can have a quick look. So I know it's very small in the corner, but I'll see if I can make it a little bit bigger. There we go.
Hi. Yeah, really good to see you.
So you can say hi to everybody, that's all.
Yeah, no, it's good. I really appreciate that. It's really good to see all of this traction we're getting over on Brand New Tube. And by the way, folks, just so that you know, on Brand New Tube, we can say what we want. We are not restricted, let's say, as we are elsewhere. But again, thanks, guys. Jed, we want to move on from, as I said, we'll have Anne-Marie's on Thursday night. Join us then, folks, and we'll have a bit of a chat and see what she can tell us about Batley and Spen. But just to finish, Jed, the last topic of the night, and again, we got to be careful because of where we are. Actually, Miss L, of course, brings up a very valid point. We all bleed the same color, no matter what color we are. Absolutely right.
Fully agree.
That's, Miss L, that's how it should be. And it's odd that it's the left that want to now judge people on their skin color, having argued that you shouldn't. Whereas I'm consistent, like Jed is and lots of you folks, we just judge people, we just judge them as we find them, judge them by what they say and do. But anyway, wanted to talk about something that is tricky, but we need to broach it. Okay, so the government is suggesting that ministers want to give the vaccine, the jabs, to teenagers. The exact age, I'm not sure, 16 to 17 year olds, they're suggesting, Jed, when the schools start back in England, which I think is late August, September, what they're suggesting is that those 16 and 17 year olds might need to get vaccinated, and they just need to get approval from the medical authorities to enable that vaccination to go ahead, no doubt at turbo speed. And the issue I have, Jed, and to the stream is this. It's like, well, hang on a second. That age group at young demographic is pretty much almost untouched by serious consequences of COVID. There have been minimal number of deaths, very, very few in that category. And most of them, there's been comorbidities, other serious issues. So if this group isn't impacted, Jed, by the illness, by the virus, and if the older age groups are all vaccinated, why would you want to vaccinate it?
And again, I must agree. It's just, it's the same argument. It's that circular argument of why vaccinate the social care workers if all the elderly are fully vaccinated? What are you protecting against if the person that is at risk is vaccinated, then why do you need to be? Now, with kids, they are at, statistically, government figures, they are not at risk. And in fact, there are medical professionals advising the government, YouTube, advising the government that there is more risk from the vaccine for children than there is from getting COVID and being ill. In fact, there is more risk from flu this winter for children and crossing the road than they will gain by, or risk that they would lose by having the vaccine. So these are government advisors, YouTube, advising the government that they should not be doing this. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I find it really, really strange. And in actual fact, I mean, there is talk of even extending the age group beyond 17, 16, down into the 15s, 14s, 13s, even as young as 12 or 11.
Yeah.
I find it inexplicable. It doesn't appear logical to me. The science doesn't seem to back it up. If we have everyone else vaccinated, I don't see who are they infecting. If the consequence of a young person taking COVID is that they've got the sniffles or a bit of a cough, and that passes them in 24 hours. I mean, you know, why on earth would they need the
tell me a child before 2020, before March 2020, that in autumn and winter didn't have a cough and sniffles. Tell me,
exactly.
There isn't one. I've got three kids. They're all grown up now. Every single winter, one would get it. They'd all get it. We'd get it. And then it would go in a few days. And that's it. Yeah. Every child has sniffles. But now you have a sniffle, you've got to go and get a test. You go and get a test. The whole class or the whole year is then sent home from school. It's absolutely bizarre.
In fact, you're absolutely right, Jed. I saw a story today, and it was a parent of a kid whose child had was in a class, and someone in the class had tested positive, which, remember, YouTube does not mean an active infection, but they tested positive, and because of that, everyone in the class was sent home. So, you know, this is really strange. But
I'm sorry. Today, his child was sent home. He doesn't even know the person that tested positive. Not in his class. But all his kids were sent home today.
Yeah, it's weird. The other thing, by the way, folks, and Jed, did you see the story about the Scottish footballer who has tested positive? Well, actually, one of their stars, apparently, he's tested positive. But the rest of the team are all okay, apparently, and they don't have to isolate. But
that's funny there, isn't it, David? Isn't that funny? How
does that work?
A member of a football team is tested positive, but the rest of the football team and the team that they played against don't have to vaccinate. You know why that is, David? It's for the same reason that Boris can have a barbecue on the beach with the G7 and they can pat each other on the back and shake hands. For the same reason that UEFA officials or UEFA sponsors are going to get to come to this country without quarantining. Those three groups of people are all for the same reason why the rules don't apply. Yeah. Because they're rich.
So I just want to bring it. It's Billy Gilmore, Loudmouth says it's Billy Gilmore. And he was also seen hugging a couple of England players too. Yeah. You know, it is an incredible hypocrisy. As Last But One says, it's elites and peasants. As Jane Oxley says, it's hypocrisy. And it absolutely is. But of course, in my view, I mean, the fact that he's tested positive means that what does that actually mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything, does it?
Well, it certainly,
David, it doesn't. But the point is here, we used to have to go and find hypocrisy. You had to go and look for it. You had to dig through people's history and et cetera to show their hypocrisy. Now it's in plain sight on the news, on the papers, every single day. The rich and famous and wealthy can do what they like, and the rest of us plebs have to stay home. Why? To protect an NHS that is designed and paid for to protect us, not the other way around. We are we are not living, I'm sorry, David, I'm ranting. We are not living on this planet to pay taxes so we can protect the NHS. We pay our taxes so they will protect us when we need them. And people go, yeah, but the hospitals are overrun. The hospitals are overrun because they're badly managed. They have more managers than they have nurses and doctors. And that is where the fundamental problem lies.
And sorry, you're right, Jed. That's okay. That's okay. As Linda Thompson also does make the valid point, Jed. It's also going to be the Euro final. It's the motor racing. It's Ascot. We saw all the scenes at Ascot there over the last few days of last week, and it's going to be Wimbledon. I mean, it is an incredible. And as you say, it was Boris's barbecue by the beach down in Cornwall as well. It's this incredible, incredible double standard whereby one rule for them, another rule for the rest of us. And if that wasn't bad enough, you know, as I said, there's a definite move ahead in being planned, I believe, to vaccinate the children, certainly teenagers, if not younger, come September, October. And there's also talk of course, the booster. All of you folks who thought, if I get the vaccine once, twice, that'll be it. Nah. You're going to need to get the booster as well. And again, Jed, I think I did put out a podcast in this one. The only thing that the booster is going to boost is the profits of Big Pharma. Because this is like the best business model ever. Imagine something, you just got to vaccinate the world. Global population, 8 billion or so? That's a lot of profits, isn't it?
Yeah, well, David, because I'm on the stream and I do all your technical stuff in the background, there's the one that David is talking about, the booster. As you can see, we've done our children are not COVID reservoirs. There's lots of content there, guys. But I'm not going to show this one, David, until you've seen it in the green room. I don't want to mention its name. It's the one I put up on your behalf last night on brand new tube. I just want people to see it, but we will not say what it's called if you're happy with that. Remember the one last night?
Yeah, okay, yep. Go ahead.
So we will not mention it, but I suggest you go and watch this on brand new tube.
Yeah, give that a view over on brand new tube.
I was you guys.
Yeah, you should do. But the thing in all of this is we want to provide information so people can make up their own minds. It's not for me, Jed, to advise anybody what they should do, but it is possible to provide different shades of information, and from that, people can make their own mind up.
Absolutely. I've never advised anybody not to take the vaccination, and I would not. If they believe that that is the right thing for them, then that's what they should do.
Yeah.
And just like anybody listening on the street.
Exactly.
If you believe it's the right thing.
And the other thing is, we shouldn't let government divide. I don't want to be divided from friends who have had the vaccine. But obviously, I haven't. I won't be taking it, I'm afraid. I don't have any confidence that I need it. I've got this thing called an immune system. But here's the thing. I don't want us to be divided from each other, because, you know, divide and conquer is how governments rule, authoritarian governments rule. So I don't want Boris Johnson splitting us up from friends or colleagues or whoever who may have decided for their own reasons to take it. But I do think that we should also be respected if we choose not to take it. I think that's
I agree, David, but we are going down that road. We are going down the road now where you have to have the app on your phone, or you have to have a piece of paper. We will very soon, if this isn't stopped in its tracks, you will have the guy at Morrison's, the security guy, saying, show me your papers. And then people go, oh, you're stupid. That won't ever happen. Well, it's already happening. In certain shops, it's happening.
Yeah, although, I mean, having said that, I've been in shops in the last couple of weeks whereby I've gone into one shop and they had a big sign. As you walked in on the front door of the shop, they had a big sign that says, no mask, no entry. I wasn't wearing a mask. I walked in and all the staff weren't wearing masks.
I've never worn one. And I go in a particular shop every Saturday because we get the dog stuff there and stuff for the birds in the garden. And for a long while, I would wear a little lanyard with the government thing, I'm exempt. But I've stopped wearing that. And my good lady also used to wear one of those that you can buy that looks a bit like the flora packet. If you see what I mean, it's got a nice flower on it and it says they're exempt.
Yeah.
She's even stopped wearing that as well. Why? Because we never get asked. We give people space if they want the space. I don't care. And once I've had a COVID marshal come up to me, and as he went, excuse me, sir, and I was happening to wear the lanyard at the time, I turned around and went, oh, you're exempt. Thank you very much, sir. And off he went. I've never seen him since. But I have never worn one. I will not wear one, no matter what. I'm not a face nappy wearer.
Well, as I say, people have that absolute right to choose not to do so. The COVID regulations make it clear that it's perfectly appropriate. If you think you are exempt, then not to wear something that would have a severe impact on your well-being. So there you go. Well,
may I suggest doing what Julia Hartley Brewer suggested on Vaccine Radio, which is get a clean, unused mask, put it in an envelope, and on the outside of the envelope, stick on the following. Address it to number 10, Boris Johnson, number 10, Downing Street, SW1, whatever it is, with the hashtag, I'm done on the mask. Because I am done. I've not worn one, but I am done with the restrictions on my life, the liberty that they have taken away from me. They have no right to take my liberty unless I have committed a crime, and I have not. They've committed a crime on the population.
Well, I think, Jed, you know, we'll wrap things up, but it does strike me that it's, you know, here we are on June 21st. Before we know where we are, it will be July 19th. And it'll be fascinating to see just how this one plays out. I don't trust Boris Johnson. I don't trust Matt Hancock. I don't trust this government. I don't trust the media. And if we go by all the stuff we've seen in the past year and a half, the logical conclusion is that we will not get that back which we think we're going to get. You might get some little concessions around the edges, but I don't think we are going to get back our freedoms. I do think, Jed, and you're very wise to have said this. I mean, sometimes I'm a bit naive. I want people to be united, whether we are, you know, vaccinated or unvaccinated. But I think the government narrative is going to be driving separation between us. I think that's tragic. It breaks my heart that that might happen. I have family members who are vaccinated. So, you know, there's that as well. But ultimately, you have to do the thing that's right. And the right thing is to do what your heart tells you. And if that means take a vaccine, please take one. If it means don't take one, and that's my view, you shouldn't take one. But any which way.
No, I agree, David. I agree. And if I could just say just before we do finally wrap up, that at the Nuremberg trials, all the generals, all the soldiers just said, I was following orders. And I think Boris is following orders from the scientists. I don't think he has a backbone. I don't think he has a purr between his legs. No. And he's following orders. And I think in the end, we need a trial. We don't need parliamentary committees or anything like that. We need a trial where they're on oath. And him to say, well, I was following the science, but the science was lying to you, doesn't make the fact that what you did to the population any more lawful any better than what it was. An act that's unlawful or inhumane is an act that's unlawful or inhumane, irrelevant of who's told you what. I'm an ex-soldier. I know what the Geneva Convention says about war. But the bottom line is, even if I didn't, deliberately shooting somebody in the back is a criminal offence.
Well, when it comes to Boris and the gang, I think the I was only following the orders of the scientists won't be as any more credible than that which we did see back in the late 1940s at those trials. So it'll be very interesting.
Absolutely.
But anyway, listen, we've run over our time, folks, which is oftentimes the way. But there we go. We're having a bit of a chat. Why can't we? We're allowed to do that. And so all that really remains for me to do is thank, first of all, our producer, Jed, for making all this possible.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Jed. Thank you, everyone, for all your comments, all who have dropped a comment. All of those are much appreciated. Do make sure you subscribe to my podcast channels. The links are down below. Make sure you do that. You're going to get loads of fresh, exclusive content every day. What's not to like about that? So if you can do that for me, that'll be great for tonight. Thank you all for being here. And I shall return on Wednesday night premiere with Alana Mercer, Thursday night with Anne-Marie Waters, and Friday night, hopefully, with David McCollum. So lots of stuff to come as we go through the rest of the week. But that's it for now. Thank you very much and speak soon. Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.